Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.
You're listening to the Greek program of SBS Radio, and today we're talking with Professor Maria Cavallaris at the University of New South Wales and Children's Cancer Institute. Professor Cavallaris, thank you for accepting our invitation to speak to our program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Professor Cavallaris, you're one of this year's finalists for the Eureka Prizes, Australia's leading science rewards. Firstly, I would like to ask you for your reaction to the fact you're one of the finalists for this award.
Look, I was absolutely thrilled to be a finalist for this award. It means a lot, and because it's recognition of what we have done and what I continue to do. So in terms of, I will be talking to you a little bit more about the work we're doing around this area, but these are prestigious awards in Australia. They're highly recognised, and they're a little bit like the Academy Awards of Science for us.
So what is the specific field of your work that is being recognised?
The award I'm a finalist for is the Eureka UTS Outstanding Mentor of Young Researchers. Is recognising people who have actually contributed extensively to supporting the development of young researchers, training them. You know, they're going to be our future leaders. And so it's a great honour to actually be shortlisted for this particular award and be a finalist. I am truly honoured.
Tell us a few things about your scientific research and background.
I trained as a cancer researcher. So I did an undergraduate degree, Bachelor of Applied Science at the University of Technology, Sydney, which coincidentally is the one sponsoring this award. Then I went on to do a PhD. So this is a research degree. And my research degree was actually in children's cancer, in drug resistance in childhood cancer. And so essentially I've spent my whole professional life working in research and children's cancer research. And what I do is I investigate what makes cancer cells grow, what makes them respond to therapy, but importantly also what happens when they don't respond to therapy, because that is a problem. If the tumours don't respond to therapy, it means the cancer comes back. As you can imagine, it's not good consequences for the patients. But another area that I've developed is because children are very aggressive chemotherapy, they experience a lot of side effects. You know, some of these are, you know, end up there in hospitalized, or it might mean they have to stop their treatment because the side effects are so toxic. So my research has also been developing more effective and less toxic therapies for children with cancer. And we're doing this using a technology called nanotechnology. Nano's a Greek word for very small scale technology that allows us to deliver therapy to the tumor cells, like package them a bit like a truck delivering, you know, treatment to the tumor cells and trying to avoid the healthy cells. That's some of the research we do. And as part of that, my role is also as sort of a teacher, a professor to train the next generation of researchers. So PhD students, master students, teach them how to do good research and how to do research that's going to have an impact on people's lives.
Now, in terms of research, there have been so many leaps and bounds during the last years, during the last decades when it comes to cancer. And nanomedicine is one of them. So are you hopeful for the future? And what sort of breakthroughs do you see in the near future?
Look, I'm very hopeful for the future in cancer therapies. I think in the next decade, we're going to see so many changes in terms of how we diagnose, how we identify treatments for patients, and how we develop more targeted therapies. So the normal cells are not impacted as greatly. We know cancer therapy causes a lot of toxicity. So being able to develop therapies such as what we're doing with nanotechnology, which is being able to package the treatment materials in very small packages, and we're working towards being able to deliver these more specifically to the cancer cells so we can spare the normal healthy cells. So this way you're giving a big truckload of treatment into the cancer cells, but the normal cells are not being affected. And I think we're going to see some major breakthroughs in this area, given there's already been major advances, particularly with the COVID vaccine, which are actually using a packaging material, a nanomaterial, to package genetic material so it doesn't break down before it reaches where it needs to go.
And as a matter of fact, the mRNA vaccines were initially developed for cancer treatments, correct?
Exactly. And that's why they were able to adapt very quickly. But, you know, interestingly, they hadn't been approved in the clinic, but they were very close. So they were able to use that technology to quickly make the COVID vaccines. But what we've learned a lot in the last 2 years, as you can imagine, in terms of science and how to best make these things. So now there's enormous interest in making mRNA vaccines for different cancers, being able to use the delivery vehicles to also deliver RNA material to switch off genes. So cancer is a disease of the genes. So basically things go wrong with our genetic makeup, the cancer cell starts growing out of control. And so if we can target some of these defective genes, you're turning off those traffic lights that are green and saying to the tumor cell, keep growing, and making them red. So saying, stop growing, and die off. So that way we can destroy the tumor cells. So some very exciting, I think this is a very exciting future, and it's going to be so important for cancer.
Finally, Professor Cavallaris, if you can give us some bio information about who is Maria Cavallaris.
It's a very good question. My parents are originally from the island of Cyprus. I was born in Australia. My parents married in Australia, moved to Cyprus in 1970, and we lived here until 1974 when Cyprus was invaded by Turkey. My parents lost everything, and we moved back to Australia where they started rebuilding their lives again. And I think this is, I guess, drive and determination, even through very difficult hardships, as you can imagine, really drove me, I think, to do the best I could and strive for things. So I ended up, I had a love of science from a young age, and I just started studying. As I studied for 13 years part-time while I was working. You know, my parents were not in a position to support me while I was studying, and that was fine. I was working and studying. And yes, and I've just, you know, dedicated my life really to cancer research. I'm also a cancer survivor. So when I was 21, I got cancer. You know, I experienced the very harsh side effects of the treatment, and at times they were life-threatening. So it really drove me to try and make a difference. And unfortunately, while I was doing my PhD, my brother died of cancer. And, you know, so for me, it
resonates very personally.
Yeah, it was my life's calling, basically.
Well, Professor Cavallaris, I wish you all the best with the Eureka Awards. And I would like to thank you once again for finding the time to speak to our program.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν? Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.